Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy, chapter 8. We'll read verses 11 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Lord, as we were reminded in Sunday school, Lord, we look around and see the greatness and the bigness of our earth and our universe and how small that we really are. And yet, you created it all, which means you're greater than all that. Father, thank you that you think about us. Father, please help us today. Help our preacher fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives, change our minds, so that we could go out and help more people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Today's sermon introduction must be heard. You see, if I don't get your ear during the introduction time, the sin about which I'm going to preach will cancel out the rest of the sermon. So you will either, on purpose, give me your attention in the next couple of minutes, which then can lock you into the rest of the sermon, or you will go through what you so often go through by not hearing what's being said. You see, today I want to talk to us about becoming spiritually numb. Numb. The Bible in Matthew 13:15 and Acts 28:27, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, uses a word. The word is dull, D-U-L-L. Be somewhat comparable to our word numb, N-U-M-B, where we are numb to something. It talks about our being dull in our hearing. We're weighed down by other things. We are sluggish or lazy or slothful in our hearing to the point where we hear sound, but it's not calculating in our will. It's not calculating in our minds and in our hearts. And I wonder how many people sit under the sound of the voice of a preacher and they hear noise, but it does not calculate into truth and life-changing preaching. You see, if you don't pay attention now, the sin of your numbness will cancel out the rest of the sermon as usual. My fear is that the numb will be numb while I preach against numbness. I would recommend that you help yourself this morning. There are so many things that I want to say about this sermon. This is a 3-hour long sermon. I've had to cut out so much of it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11 through 14, you read it earlier out loud with Brother Bush. Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is used by God to write these words. Much of this book of Deuteronomy is Moses giving counsel to the children of Israel, and it is repeated counsel. God felt that he had to often remind the children of Israel of things. You find here in this passage that you read the word forget or forget not a couple of times in 3 verses. Why? Because they'd already been taught, but they didn't get it when they were taught, so God was having to remind them again, and Moses was reminding them of that about which they were numb the first go-around. They didn't hear it the first go-around. He starts out and actually uses there in verse number 11 of Deuteronomy 8, the word beware. Well, why? Because I think it is a dangerous thing to force God to repeat himself about something that he expected you to get the first time. Beware for God to have to repeat himself. God always provides for me a very practical application for the spiritual truth that he has recommended that I preach to you. Again, much to my distaste, I have an illustration that will help you with this. Recently, I had to go to the dentist. I needed a filling. I didn't say I wanted a filling. I said I needed a filling. Oh, and you know, the process that you go through, they tell you that, you know, they're going to have to numb you up, and then they lie to you and say, now there's going to be a little pinch. That's when they're sticking that needle in there. It's never been a little pinch to me. And they stuck me, and all of a sudden, the inside of my mouth began to swell up. You know, I'm not sure it looked swollen, but it sure did feel swollen. I can feel everything puffing up inside there, getting real thick and puffy, and then it was time for them to pull my mouth open to do their work. Now, they can really pull your mouth open a long way when you're numbed up. I felt like my mouth was open enough that the dentist was resting his elbow in the middle of my tongue while he was doing the work. You know, and they're pulling that top lip back to do some work, and I'm thinking, be careful. The way you're stretching that thing, I'm afraid it's going to flip back up over my eyes, over the back of my head, and I'm not going to be able to see for days, you know, like a skull cap. Just pulling and twisting. But I could feel nothing because I had had my dose of Novocaine. When they began to drill, I couldn't feel a thing. Now, I could hear something, but I couldn't feel anything, and I could smell something. Yuck. But they were drilling. Then they do that brilliant thing of begin to socialize with me. We're about to talk. And I want to be polite when they ask me questions, and I feel very obligated to talk, no matter how much slobber has to, you know, leave my mouth while I'm trying to answer their questions. So they say to me, Pastor Owens, how are things going at the church? Here's a remarkable thing. They understand what you're saying. You know, children have their own language, and moms are the ones that can really decipher it. People with Novocaine and, you know, jackhammers and things in their mouth can talk to the dentist, and the dentist understands what you're saying. Mouth propped open, tongue totally numb, they're drilling on you, beating on you, and they understand when you say, who that? And the doctor says, well, I understand that. Oh, I see that. So we're trying to talk here. And they understood. I was numb. I was desensitized. I was deadened, if you will. I was, that those nerves and the muscle was paralyzed for the moment. Hey, and let me tell you something. After you've gone through that process and you've been shot with that Novocaine, and after you've gone through that, you leave the office, but the deadening or the numbing is not all gone. So you still feel that swollen, puffy feeling, but not only that, you're still desensitized. You're still numb. You're still paralyzed, if you will. And if you're not careful, you can bite your tongue. But here's the good part about it. If you bite it, it don't hurt. You may think, well, cool. You know, if you're mad at your tongue, have at it. It's your chance to beat your own tongue. It don't hurt. Yeah. And then, the tongue is not the thing that I'm most apt to bite. It's my cheek. How many of you have ever gone to the dentist and bit your cheek or tongue afterwards? Will you raise your hand? All right, God bless you. I don't even know if dentists are allowed to go to heaven. I mean, that kind of stuff that they pull on us. Well, you bite your cheek, and I don't know, maybe this is too personal, but, you know, once you bite it, And then the inside of your cheek swells out, so now it's protruding on the inside of your mouth. And the part that you bit, if you bit it bad enough, it's kind of dangling or hanging. So what do you do all day long? Bite her again. Goodness. You can taste blood, but feel no pain. Amazing. It's amazing. You spend your day re-biting the injury because it's numb, it's dangling, it's hanging, it's in the road. You can't put a Band-Aid on the inside of your mouth. They don't stick. Plus you choke on them. They taste bad. You can bite yourself, and at that time, it doesn't even hurt. You bite that cheek, and you feel nothing. It's not so bad, at least at that time. But then what happens? Well, I'll tell you what, when that Novocaine begins to wear off, when that numbing begins to go away, when the desensitizing begins to go away, all of a sudden you begin to realize, I'm hurt. The drilling that you heard, sometimes now you ache from the feeling. The fact that they jacked your mouth open about 12 inches to get that equipment in there, back when they were jacking your mouth open, you didn't feel it. Now you can feel it way back in behind your ears, and you can feel where they had done a little work on this and a little work on that. So the pain comes eventually. You know, there are some people that seem to come to church with spiritual Novocaine applied. You are spiritually desensitized. Then you go out and you bite yourself with sin, and you're numb to it for a little while, but believe me, the devil's Novocaine is going to wear off sooner or later, and the pain of sin is going to creep into the nervous system of your spiritual life. You don't realize the danger that you have caused for yourself. You bite, and then you re-bite that same area. You begin to hurt yourself. It's a self-inflicted pain. You see, that Novocaine dulls your senses. Let me ask you a question. How spiritually sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit of God and what He wants to do in your life? Are you numb already about God's purpose for this preaching service for you today? Are you already numb? Have you already kicked into that attitude? Let's hurry up and get this over with. Are you already desensitized? Have you already shut off the volume? If you had a spiritual remote control, you would already change the channel. Already kicked in and half asleep? Your mind already wandering? Is it, hey, you're going to do the same thing as usual? Get about half what's said. You'll hear the noise of the service, but you'll miss the truth of the service. You know something's going on, but the work's not taking place inside your heart or your mind. See, the devil shoots at Christians with some arrows dipped in spiritual Novocaine. As a result of it, we so often are desensitized. We're paralyzed. We are numbed to what God wanted to accomplish. Let me say to all of us, every single person under the sound of my voice, every single person that hears this sermon, God had a plan for this sermon and your life. The question is, will you get it? And the determining factor will be, are you Novocained up? Are you numbed up? Are you desensitized? Or are you aware of what God wants and that God wants something for you today? I want to talk to you. I call the sermon Novocained Christians. The numbing that takes place. Let me show you what I mean. Are you numb in your hearing? Hebrews 5, 11 and 12 says this, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Here the Bible talks about dull of hearing. That word dull there, it's the word sluggish, it's the word lazy, it's the word slothful. Here the writer said to these people, I had many things to say to you, but you were dull of hearing. He said, and I had to teach you again some things that I've already taught you once before, but you weren't listening the first time because you were numb. The devil's Novocaine had numbed your hearing. God said, I keep bringing the same thing over and over and over again to you, but you're not hearing it. And let me tell you something. I cannot tell you as a spiritual leader how often the people that need the truth the most so often are the ones that miss it. And you wonder, why didn't they get that? Because that Novocaine spiritually has dulled your hearing. It even gets to the point here. It says that I had to repeat it, and it goes on. And in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, I wanted to give you some good meat in feeding you in your spiritual life, but I had to give you milk again because you're not hearing me when I talk to you. Do you have ears to hear, but you're not hearing? Hey, are you a grown adult Christian? At least in the amount of time that you've been saved, you ought to be a grown adult Christian, but you're still drinking from a spiritual baby bottle. It actually says here, the writer said, he said, some of you ought to be teachers by now, but you still have to be taught some of the simplest things. Why? Because you have been dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. The truth needed for your spiritual success is being preached. Others are hearing it, and they have victory. But you're not hearing it, and you don't have victory. Same truth. What's the difference? Different ears. Different ears. We're dull in hearing. Please, I beg of you, open your ears. I beg of you. Listen to this. Concentrate on the preaching. I'll tell you something. There are some, unless I run circles around this place, swing from the chandeliers, do a Mickey Mouse concert for you, you don't hear a thing that's said. You want to be entertained. Now look, I do it. My goodness, we ought to zero in. We ought to lock in our concentration and say, we are about to hear the preaching from a book, the only book that God ever wrote. I am here to learn. I am here to pay attention. I'm here to lock in on the truth and live the truth. Boy, though, if the preacher can't do it all, he's got to be able to sing and dance and do puppet shows, make you laugh, make you cry. If he can't get that, fire that dog. Shouldn't take all that. Shouldn't take all that. Make yourself listen. Make yourself obey. Hey, parents, I know how you feel. You know what it's like to tell your child to do something, and they don't? And you say, listen to me. How many times do I have to tell you you can't dry the cat in the clothes dryer? That makes Kitty dizzy. Parents, think of the frustration, though. Think of it. You tell them no, and tell them no, and tell them no, and tell them no. You say, it ought to be done this way, it ought to be done this way, it ought to be done this way. It gets frustrating, doesn't it? It gets frustrating when you give a direction. It is a proper direction. It is a pure direction. It is a good direction. And you say, you're not hearing half of what I said. Welcome to the realm of being a fundamental Baptist preacher. Welcome. I invite you to the fraternity of people that talk all the time and are listened to very little. I know how you feel. You see, that Novocaine that the devil somehow gets into our thinking and our will and our hearts and our minds, it numbs us. And I beg of you, don't be numb in your hearing. But secondly, don't be numb about what you have been taught. Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Hey, it says here, you better take heed to yourself, lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen. He's saying, you better remember, you better not be numb to what you've been taught. Don't be numb to what you have been taught. You're supposed to be taking it and teaching others also. Some here have been in church all your lives, but you wouldn't know it by the way you behave. What's wrong? You're numb. You're numb to what you have been taught. There are some here that have grown up in the right kind of a church. You have grown up in the right kind of a church. But for some reason, you're numb. All those Sunday school lessons that Sunday school teachers taught you. All those Sunday morning sermons that an old-fashioned fundamental Baptist preacher preached to you. All those sermons that you learned on Sunday night and on Wednesday night and in that children's program. Hey, wake up. Are you numb to what you have been taught? Do you have ears to hear, but they're all numbed out on the devil's Novocaine? Are you numb to the teaching? There are people in here, you've heard some of the greatest preachers in history. And you are numb to their preaching. You're numb to what they taught you. Some here were reared in excellent Christian homes, but it does not show. Because you're numb. You have allowed yourself to become spiritually paralyzed. Some here have graduated from fine Christian schools like Martinsburg Christian Academy and others, but you seem to be spiritually paralyzed. It's not a matter of that you've not been taught. It's a matter of that you don't listen or you're numb to what you've been taught. You're not acting upon what you've taught. You're so numbed up for some reason that you know what's right, and you've heard what's right, and you've been taught what's right. You just won't do right. And I'm saying to you, you are so desensitized that you're failing in your Christian life because of it. Some here have graduated from good Christian Bible colleges. Let me ask you a question. How can you ignore everything you learned? How can you be so lethargic? How can you be so satisfied with being like the world? How? You heard it taught. You heard it taught well. You're just not going to move, are you? Because you are full of the devil's Novocaine. You're dull. You're satisfied. Listen to me now, and I can help a lot of you if you'll listen. I wish I had time to preach a whole sermon on a couple of statements I'm about to make. Those of you that are second-generation Christians, you better be careful. You say, what do you mean? Well, Mom and Dad got saved and got all fired up. Mom and Dad came out of the world, or Mom and Dad got saved and salvation was new and exciting and fresh. They jumped on board. Mom and Dad got some standards, and Mom and Dad got some conviction, and Mom and Dad would stand up for the old-time gospel, and Mom and Dad would do right. Mom and Dad would go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Mom and Dad were a part of the church. Mom and Dad were committed to God. But you grew up in the family with Mom and Dad all excited. That just don't excite you. You've seen it all. You've seen the revivals, and you've seen people saved, and you've seen Mom and Dad fill their bus route, and you've seen Daddy get people saved, and you've seen Mama teach a Sunday school class. But you're the second generation. No fire. half dead. Not excited about God. Well, if we go to church, we go to church. If we don't, we don't. But Dad said, we're going. Dad said, we're going. Everybody, we're going. No excuses. We're going. Not you. Not you. So what? Same old. Same old. You say, well, preach, that doesn't bother me. Well, let's see if this does. Let me tell you where your kids are going to be. Let me just tell you where your kids are going. They're going to be a few steps behind you in intensity. And it's hard to beat a dead skunk. Hey, are you numb about the things you've been taught? We have strategically placed a piece of humor in the sermon right here. So you can relax, because we got a little thick there for you, didn't we? A woman and her husband interrupted their vacation to go to the dentist. I want a tooth pulled, and I don't want Novocaine because I'm in a big hurry, said the wife. Just extract the tooth as quickly as possible, and we'll be on our way. Oh, the dentist was quite impressed. You're certainly a courageous woman, he said. Which tooth is it, ma'am? The woman turned to her husband and said, show him which tooth it is, honey. Hey, are you numb about what you've been taught? Are you numb? Are you Novocained up? Will this sermon make an iota of difference to you? Will it? I hope you have just enough spiritual sense when I'm done today to be able to look back and decide whether you're numb or not. But probably you won't. You see, the Bible talks about our becoming dull about the things of God, numb in our hearing, numb about those things that we have been taught. Hey, how about numb about the name of our God? Deuteronomy 6:12, it says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. And over and over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy, we find out there was a concern that they were going to forget the name of the Lord our God. They were going to forget about Jesus. They were going to forget about Jehovah. They were going to forget about God. They were going to forget about the God of our fathers. Hey, have you become numb about the name of Jesus? Does the term, the word, the title God not mean anything to you anymore? Has God become a household word that no longer makes an impact in regard to being special? Is Jesus still special to you? Do you use his name in vain that it doesn't bother you? You're numb to it? Are you desensitized about that holy name, that name that is to be exalted above every name? Do others curse his name and it's okay with you? It doesn't really bother you. You used to thrill at the songs when we would sing, Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind. Do you? Do you even think about Jesus when you sing about Jesus, or is it just another song in your repertoire? Have you become numb to the fact that the God of the universe sent his son to be born of a virgin, to live a holy sinless life, to die for you, to be buried for you, to be resurrected for you? Have you forgot about who he is? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. Hey, do you no longer thrill to singing a song, Jesus is the sweetest name I know? Is there a Hollywood star or a rock and roll star or a baseball star whose name comes across your, their name comes across your lips with more sincerity than the name of Jesus? Because you use the name of Jesus all the time. You talk about God all the time. It's Jesus, Jesus this, Jesus that. It really doesn't mean anything to you anymore. But if you talk about who's going to, who's got the highest batting average in the baseball league, that is sincere talk. You're locked into it. You mean it. You're on to that. Are we dull about Jesus? Are we dull about God? You used to sing when we sang about Jesus, and you lift your voice higher. Now you mumble the words. If you even sing at all, you've been singing those songs all your life. So what's the big deal? Give me some new music in the church. The new movement that's corrupting even fundamental Baptist churches is because of the desensitizing of holy things by the devil in the old-time ways. We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We just need to reread it. We don't need to redefine fundamentalism. We need to relive it for the next generation. My, what's happening to churches across our country? Hey, numb. We're numb. When people call you a Christian, do you stop and realize what that really means? The word Christian means Christ-like one. When they call you a Christian, they're virtually saying that you're like Jesus. Mean anything to you? Is the name of Jesus commonplace to you? Let me guarantee you, there's coming a day when you're going to find out about that name. Because the Bible says one of these days we're going to face our God, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we will bow at the name of Jesus. When we get to heaven, I'll promise you, when the angels speak the name Jesus, the heavenly orchestra goes off. I'm telling you, there are smiles, there's excitement, there's fireworks in heaven at the name of Jesus. But for you and I, God, Jesus, Jehovah, I don't even have to pay attention when I'm talking about that. Why? We're numb. We're numb to His name. We're numb to what He has taught us. We are numb to the hearing of God's Word and the preaching of God's Word. Are you numb about serving Him? Are you numb about soul winning and service to God? Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4, the Bible says this, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Talking about a church that had left her first love. Are you numb to those things of God that you used to love? Think about it for a minute. What is it about God, the church, the service of God? What did you used to thrill with that now has become commonplace to you? Matter of fact, something you used to love, you now criticize it. Now you're negative about it. You've gnawed on the inside of your jaw, chomped down on your cheek, and chomped down again, and bit your tongue. You're bleeding and spitting blood with your negative poison. But you used to love it. You got shot with the devil's Novocaine, didn't you? Hey, something has happened here. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They have become numb about that which at one time they were passionate. They had lost their feeling about the importance of people getting saved. Folks, help me with something. Let me tell you something. When we have a church service, right at the end of the church service, we have a thing called an invitation. It's called an altar call. Churches everywhere are doing away with invitations and altar calls. Why? They've become numb to the importance of getting people to respond to the gospel. They become numb about it. Let me tell you, when we finally come to the point where people can come forward and get on their knees at an altar and bow before the name of Jesus, and people can receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and people can get saved, that's not the time to leave your seat, go out the door and run for the parking lot to try to get to McDonald's before everybody else. Or are you numb? Are you numb? We have young people that sit down front, for which I'm grateful. Often when people come forward in our service, we've asked them to give up their seat and go and stand in the back while we use the front pews to deal with the people that are getting saved and people that are rededicating their lives. Oh, young people, always be careful, and they are. Don't just walk out the back door and go play. People play while others pray, getting saved, and we become numb to the importance of the value of one soul. The people in here, you came to visit our church, and you watched the altar call, and you watched somebody get saved, and then another, and another. And that day, you watched five or six people trust Jesus Christ. You came back the next Sunday and said, go see what happens this Sunday. And the next Sunday, some people came forward and they got saved. And then the next Sunday, some people came forward and got saved. And you said, wow. You said to your wife, honey, I think this is what we've been looking for. You said to your husband, wow, this is incredible. This is what it's all about. Now, you do this. I wonder when he's going to get done so we can get out of here. Because we're dull about that which we used to love. That which we used to love. Somebody here is a paralyzed soul winner. Somebody here, you used to win people to Jesus Christ and your heart thrilled. Your heart thrilled. You used to go out and tell others about Jesus and get them saved and get them born again, and you would be pumped. You'd be psyched. You'd say, wow, isn't that great? And you'd tell people, not in a prideful way. You were just so excited. But you're paralyzed, aren't you? Numb. Dull. Desensitized. Did you know that the hell that the lost go to today is as hot as the hell that they were going to back when you were not paralyzed? Oh, yeah. Is your tongue on the devil's Novocaine and unable to move for Jesus? Do you no longer speak up and tell people about Christ? You used to handle a handful of gospel tracts every week of your life. You used to go to the tract rack that's out here in the hallway. You wouldn't leave church unless you had a half a dozen tracts or so. You never went to the gas station without telling somebody about the Lord. You never went to the grocery store without handing somebody a gospel tract. You were on it all the time. It's been so long since you had a handful of gospel tracts in your purse, it's pathetic. Dull in your hearing. Dull in your hearing. Dull in your service to God. Dull in your soul winning. Hey, are you desensitized about somebody else needing your help? That's what Christians do, right? We help each other. We do good deeds. How long has it been since you did a good deed? Now, you're not desensitized about people helping you. They can run to your aid over and over and over again, and if they don't, you now expect it. You know, you're the victim in life on everything. When's the last time you realized that somebody needed you? Are you desensitized that we live in a world that needs somebody to care? Are you desensitized about the fact there are still needy people out there and somebody that needs somebody to buy them a bag of groceries or put $5 of gas in their car or tell them that you care about them or encourage them? Are you desensitized about your service to God? Are you desensitized? Are you on the devil's Novocaine? Is your service to God numb? You were thrilled at the fact that you were asked to be a bus captain. Well, that was a while ago. Sure, isn't it, Brother Bajan? Keeping bus captains that are thrilled. Brother Bajan, stand up for a second. How long have you been a bus captain? Over 30 years. Still thrilled. He's not been pumped full of the devil's Novocaine. Hard to find them like that. Hard to find them. Exceptional man. Used to care about the bus kids. Now they're in your road. Now they soil the restrooms. Well, do you know what you do in there is no better than what they do in there for the most part? Makes you think you're different. We're dull We get dull. Listen, I got to apologize to you folks. I don't have anything new to give you. I can't give you anything new. We've just got to figure out how to stay excited about the old. We got to figure out how to keep on doing what's always been right to do. We don't need to mingle it with all the new modern trash. We just keep the old time ways and we stay excited because we've got character. That's what you do. That's how a church like this just keeps on going. We're not going the modern way. We're going the old way. And every once in a while, every one of us need to say, am I desensitized? Am I dull in my hearing? Am I paralyzed in my service? Numb about our service to God. Numb. Here's something about a dentist. I put two bits of humor in today. I just felt like it'd be best. A dinner speaker was in such a hurry to get to the hotel that he arrived and sat down at the head table. He suddenly realized that he had forgotten to get his false teeth. Turning to the man next to him, he said, I forgot my teeth. The man said, no problem. With that, this man reached into his pocket and pulled out a pair of false teeth. Try these, said the man. The speaker tried them. He said, they're too loose. He said, the man then said, I have another pair. Try these. The speaker tried them and reported, too tight. The man was not taken back at all. He said, okay, I have one more pair. Try them. The speaker said, they fit perfectly. With that, he ate his meal and the speaker was able to give his speech. After the dinner meeting was over, the speaker went over to the man to thank him, the man that had helped him. I want to thank you for coming to my aid. Where's your office? I've been looking for a good dentist. The man replied, I'm not a dentist, I'm an undertaker. Are we numb? Are we numb? Every man in this building that consider yourself a preacher, let me give you a little warning. When you start mounting this old pulpit, numb, and you do it out of routine, you just want to get the speech made, you're a sorry rascal. I know why the churches can't do anything today. You've got numbness in the pew because you've got numbness in the pulpit. People are afraid that, hey, preachers that aren't with God and they're not walking with God and they're not spending time in the book and time on their knees. No wonder churches are not moving forward for the old time ways. Preachers are not. It takes the same power of God that it's always taken. It takes the same time in prayer. It takes the same stand for the old time ways that it is always taken. Preachers don't want to do it, so they sell out to try to come up with something new to keep everybody's attention. Are you numb? Numb on the devil's Novocaine. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Are you numb with your sin? The word hardened there is, it means not responsive. There it is. There's the Novocaine of the devil in the area of your sin. Does your sin no longer bother you? You know, when you heard me preach against the filthy pornography that was on the internet, the first time around, it bothered you. It convicted you. Now it doesn't bother you a lick. Doesn't bother you a lick. I'll say something. For some of you, you're really going to like this. You don't get mad at me anymore, do you? I wish you would. I wish you would. Somebody here needs to hear me preach on your sin and get mad as a hornet at me. Then on your drive home, realize it wasn't my fault. It's yours. Hey, numb about our sin. Numb about that which we're doing wrong. We've become numb about it. I'd preach to you and tell you if you don't tithe, you'll lose God's blessing on your life, put a curse on your finances. Some of you used to be scared to death. Scared to death. Now you're numb to it. You're desensitized. I'd preach about your adultery, and when you first started that affair, it ate at you. You wondered if I knew. Well, I do. So that stuff's really cool when you say it, you know? I know of nobody committing adultery in this church, but you do, and God does, and the Holy Spirit does. And when I preached on it the first time, and you were committing adultery, and you were sneaking around, and nobody knew about it, it bothered you. And you were paranoid, half freaked out that the preacher knew. Now, you got her down, don't you? Didn't bother you until now. Or are you desensitized? Talk about your stealing. Used to bother you, not anymore. Your gossip. You used to wonder, is that me? Now you're just satisfied with it. Your immodesty. Your wrong friends. The liquor. Missing church. Used to bother you when I preached to you about being faithful to church. Now, doesn't bother you anymore. No big deal. You say, Brother Owens, to me your preaching has become lame. Wonder who it is, me or you? I wonder who's lame. Is it my mouth or your ears? Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to stop and realize, hey, every Christian in this house, everybody here that's even listening slightly, you're under conviction. Because all of us have become lame about something. I mean every one of us, including moi. Me. You know, I have to prepare these sermons. I got to put up with them twice. Novocained Christians. Numb. Dull. Lethargic. The uncommon things of the spirituality have become common, which God said, beware. Beware. You're almost better off falling all the way off the wagon and splatting and being embarrassed than to be numb. You know where you're backslidden and you don't know it or don't care? Backslidden and haunted by it is a real good idea. But backslidden and satisfied, you're just locked in neutral, baby, and don't even know. You can't go anywhere. And if you did, you didn't want to go anywhere. Novocaine Christians, we become numb in our hearing. We become numb about that which we have been taught. We become numb about the name of our God. We become numb about our soul winning. We become numb about our service to our God. We become numb about the sin that we commit. And you know what we need to do? We need to get the feeling back. And I'm not talking about we don't function around here by feeling, but there's a lot of feeling that goes on around here. We make our decisions based on right and wrong and let the old black book decide. We believe that we are to run our lives by principle and scriptural guidelines. But we do a lot of feeling around here, but feeling is not in the forefront. It's a tag on after we've done what we're supposed to do because it's right to do, not because we feel like it. Somebody needs to get their feeling back. And now I'm talking about that feeling where the devil's Novocaine has been injected into your spiritual life. Malachi 3:7 says, even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them, return unto me. And I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. God is saying to a group of people, you've left behind so many things. I had to repeat myself, and you're numb, and you're paralyzed spiritually. He said, come on back. Get the feeling back. Return to God. Come to your senses. Slap yourself. Wake yourself up. Shake it off. Shake it off. More than one time, I would drive many, many miles. Now, if I have to go to a preaching meeting and it's more than 4 hours away, I fly now. That might be hard for you to understand, but I have to travel a lot. But I remember back when I'd go to preaching meetings, back when I was just a young 20-year-old preacher, they'd ask me to preach. I'd drive 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 hours straight to get to a meeting, preach, turn around, come back. Boy, I can remember being so tired. I'd be driving along just about half out of it. You know what I'd do? First thing I'd do is I'd roll my window down, then another one. Then I'd turn the air conditioning on as high as I could get it to keep me awake. I didn't want to be roadkill. You know what some of you need to do? Roll your spiritual window down. Let that cold air of God's conviction slap you in the face and wake you up to your condition. But you know what? If that didn't work, I did something else. I'd pull the car over. Get out. I'd run around the car a couple times. I'd get out and slam the door. Boy, I'd run around the car, try to get my heart a-pumping. I'd go around again, try to get my heart a-pumping. You know what? That'd wake me up. You know what some of you need to do? You need to park the spiritual car in your life. You need to get out. You need to run around it a couple times and wake yourself up to your true spiritual condition. That's what you need to do. And then, every once in a while, if Mrs. Owens was traveling with me while I was driving, and if I had rolled the window down, let the cold air slap me in the face, so that didn't do it. If running around the car a couple times wouldn't do it, I'd watch her as she'd come over and sit by me and hit me. You know what I mean? Just hit me like that to keep me alert. And that's what I've tried to do for you today. Try to wake you up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up! It's called being backslidden. And others are aware, but you're not. Wake up! Watch out! Beware! Remember the times when you're so tired driving, sometimes you got to the destination and couldn't even remember traveling a good part of the distance? Some of you doing that in your spiritual life. That's where you're at right now. How you got from where you were to where you're at right now, you have no concept. You have hurt people. You may have run people off the road. You discouraged some young Christians. You hurt somebody. You risked your own life and risked somebody else's life spiritually. You're going to wake up and say, oh, thank God I made it this far. Maybe I'll turn around and look at the destruction behind you. You need to get the feeling back. Shake it off. Slap yourself. Revive yourself. See the real you. Are you biting your tongue? And not feeling it? Have you tore into your cheek? Cut off a big old chunk of skin on the inside of your mouth, but it's not really affected you quite yet. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be sure your sin will find you out. It'll hurt bad later. Are you biting in the same place over and over and over again? Like you do when you're numbed by Novocaine. Some here are bleeding. Don't worry, the pain is on its way. You can taste the blood, but you can't feel it, so it doesn't bother you. I'm going to repeat a story. I'll repeat it quickly. I've told it in this pulpit before, but it so perfectly fits this sermon. The way that the Eskimos kill a wolf is a very unique process. Wolf is a very smart animal. What they'll do is they'll take a whale bone and sharpen one edge of it. A whale bone about 2-3 foot long. They'll sharpen it till it's razor sharp. They go out to where the ice is and they dig a channel in the ice. A channel that whale bone will slide into. They put the whale bone down inside that channel with the sharp edge sticking up. They sink the whale bone deep enough that only the slightest, little maybe an eighth or a quarter of an inch of that sharpened whale bone is protruding above the ice. They then take water and pour it over the top of this whole contraption. The water locks the whale bone into the channel and the water covers ever so slightly the top of that sharpened whale bone. They then go and get fresh animal blood and pour it on top of that whale bone. The Eskimo then goes and hides. The wolf smells the blood. The wolf comes a-running. He wants the blood. He begins to lick that fresh blood. As he licks the blood, he tastes that delicious blood. The ice begins to numb his tongue, but the warmth of his tongue begins to melt the ice. He licks and he licks and he licks, and before long, he has, with the warmth of his tongue, licked the top coat of ice off that razor-sharp whale bone. But his tongue is so numb now from the ice, he is not aware of what's happening. So finally, he takes one big old lap of the blood. That last coat of ice off the sharp whale bone comes off because of the warmth of his tongue, and it lacerates his tongue, but he cannot feel it because his tongue is numb from the ice. He licks. He's frozen. He's cut. He bleeds. Now he's licking his own blood. And an Eskimo will catch a wolf by bleeding it to death and let it lacerate itself to death under the numbness of the ice. I really believe this. There is somebody in this auditorium today. You're about to bleed yourself to death. You're numb. You are self-destructing. And right now, you don't see it. You don't accept it. You don't even want to hear it. That's all part of the numbness. Don't allow yourself to self-destruct. Are you so far gone that you're numb to the whole sermon I've been preaching to you about numbness? Are you so spiritually desensitized that a sermon like this will do nothing for you? You feel nothing? Hey, you know there's a work being done, but not on you. It's just like sitting in the dentist chair. You don't need the altar. You used to.